Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 25th chapter. Jesus said to the disciples, "When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate people one from another, as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep at his right hand and the goats at the left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, 'Come, you that are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me food. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you welcomed me. I was naked, and you gave me clothing. I was sick, and you took care of me. I was in prison, and you visited me.' Then the righteous will answer him, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and gave you food, or thirsty and gave you something to drink? And when was it that we saw you a stranger and welcomed you, or naked and gave you clothing? And when was it that we saw you sick or in prison and visited you?' And the king will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you did it to me.' Then he will say to those at his left hand, 'You that are accursed, depart from me into the eternal fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me no food. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not welcome me. Naked, and you did not give me clothing. Sick, and in prison, and you did not visit me.' Then they will also answer, 'Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?' And he will answer them, 'Truly I tell you, just as you did not do it for the least of these, you did not do it to me.' And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to you,
O Christ. Please be seated. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Who am I? Anybody know? There you go. Who said that? Good job. You get a gold star. If I had a gold star, I'd give it to you. Excellent. This is my Luther mask. All right. And I want to pretend I'm Martin Luther. I put that on. It's fun to wear a mask once in a while. It's fun to play around with your identity for a little bit, to have someone try to guess who you are. And we had someone this morning who knew. Good for you. It's also fun to put on a disguise, if you will, and pretend maybe that you're somebody else for a little bit. It's a little Halloween-y, but, you know, it's kind of like that for grown-ups. Halloween's not just for kids, maybe. Although, you older folk, don't come showing up at my door. Kids only there. Anyway, I want to tell you a little story. This is a story that was told about something that happened to him many years ago. His pastor, Edward Marquardt, tells this story. Pastor Marquardt is now retired, but he tells this story about something that happened like over 50 years ago. But it's fun. It's an interesting story. I think you'll enjoy it, hopefully. He goes on to say, this takes him back to the days when he was in college. He says, "I was a junior in college," and this is somewhere in Minnesota, "and I was full of pranks," he said. "I had just finished working as a canoeing guide up in northern Minnesota, probably along the Boundary Waters, if any of you are familiar with that. So that by the end of the summer, my beard had become all long and bushy, and my hair was long. And so what I did is I put on dark glasses, some old kind of crummy clothes, and he said, I felt like I looked like a 1960s hippie. Now I knew my sister was coming to visit me in Minneapolis, and she was going to be at the Minneapolis airport pretty soon, Sister Beverly. So he said, I decided to surprise her at the airport. I had my long hair, long beard, old clothes. I put on some sunglasses and kind of changed my posture a little bit so that I could fool her. She came off the airplane. Now, these are the days before TSA when you could go to the gate and meet people. Some of you remember. She came off the airplane, and I approached her saying, "Hey, lady, you got a dime for a cool cat like me?" She started to walk away. I persisted. She started to run. I grabbed her by the arm, and I said in a sharp voice, "Beverly." And then she took me a good look at me, exclaimed, "You brat." Now, she would have treated me differently, he says, if she had known who I was. Now, he's not done. Apparently, this guy was quite a character. Knowing that I had a good thing going, I had decided to take this new look out on my own, out to my aunt and uncle on the farm. Aunt Gudrun and Uncle Clarence. I drove to their seat and approached the door and knocked. Aunt Gudrun opened the door. I asked, "Do you have a meal for a hungry person like myself? Lady, I am so hungry. I am desperate for food." She looked at me and she said, "Just a minute." And she turned around and she said, "Clarence, Clarence." And she closed the door behind her. And Edward says, "I waited for, seemed like a really long time there on the porch. So I decided to walk around the house. So I walked around the house and looked up in, and I saw into the neighboring field, and there was my Aunt Gudrun running for her life. She had climbed two fences and was running as fast as she could away from the farmhouse. Boy, was she mad when she found out who I really was. But she would have treated me differently if she had known who I was from the start. Putting on a disguise can fool people, huh? Yeah, putting on that mask. He was quite a character, apparently. He still is, probably, I don't know. With that story in mind, we're going to think about what's going on in today's gospel, because Jesus is putting on a disguise. He's going incognito, if you like, wearing a variety of masks, not just one mask, but many, in today's reading. Note both of the groups in today's story, the sheep and the goats. Both were surprised at the judgment. Either group didn't recognize who they were dealing with in the course of their lives. The thing that neither group recognized was that Jesus was hidden behind all those different masks. One of my teachers along the way, Harry Wendt, liked to say about this text that Christ comes to us in, distressing disguise. It's how Jesus comes to us in the masks of the poor, the sick, the imprisoned, the hungry, those in need. And this gives us an important teaching about our faith that's set before us today and is consistent with other parts of the New Testament. I won't go into them for the moment, but what I want you to hear is that God doesn't come to us as God really is. God doesn't choose to come to us in that way, full of glory and power and majesty and might. As God has all those attributes, yet God does not choose to come to us that way, yet. That will one day happen, but not yet. God is hidden in many ways from us. And this is a very unique thing about our Christian self-understanding, our understanding about who God is and how do we relate to God. We normally like to think about God in grandiose terms. And if we want to commune with God, we can in church, of course, for the believers. But for other people, sometimes they find God elsewhere. I'm a big fan of Yosemite. It's my favorite place in the nature. And John Muir, who many of you are familiar with, said this. He said, look, nature is overflowing with the grandeur of God. And Yosemite was the place par excellence for him. He even said this, and this is from coming from a preacher's kid. Remember, he was a preacher's kid. I'd rather be in the mountains thinking of God than in church thinking about the mountains. That was John Muir. Anyway, but I get that. One of my favorite places to experience is Yosemite. But also, I remember that time I visited John Muir Woods National Monument up by the bay with the cathedral grove of the redwood trees in kind of a circle. You see those beautiful ancient trees and your eyes just drawn upward like in a cathedral, in a Gothic cathedral. Your eyes go up and you imagine the grandeur and glory of God in that place. It's just filled with God's presence. Beautiful. But our faith teaches us if we want to seek God, if we want to experience God, we might experience God in some way in those places, but that's not where God chooses to be. God has chosen a different place. God has hidden God's self under contrary forms, as Martin Luther would say, under the forms of suffering and weakness, humility. And at the most extreme form, under the suffering and death of Jesus on the cross. That's too a place when we see God. That's where we meet God, in those places. God hides God's self in that way. It doesn't come gloriously manifesting God's self. One day God will, but for us now, this is where we would meet God. And this is also how Christ reigns over the world. Today, as we talk about Christ, our sovereign, our Lord, our King, this is how God chooses to reign over the world even now through Jesus as the one who suffers for the sins of many, who bears the marks of crucifixion in him, in his body, even now. So, with that in mind, is it any wonder that those who, when the nations gathered before Jesus at judgment, those who came before him did not recognize him? He is not like any king of this world or any king that could be imagined in this world. Jesus' teaching today frustrates all of our efforts to think somehow that we can save ourselves. We know we can't, and this teaching reinforces it all. Think about it for a moment. Those who are the sheep, the ones who get commended, they didn't know they were serving Jesus, apparently. When did we see you behind these various masks? We didn't see you there. And Jesus says, as you did it to them, as you served the least of these, you did it to me. And they were shocked by that realization. Really? And those on the other side, those who were rejected, the goats, if you're a fan of goats, sorry. The goats, if you will, they had the same thing. They did not see Jesus either in any of those places. And they did nothing. That's what they, in this text, Harry Wendt likes to say, they go to hell for doing nothing. Not anything bad. Just doing nothing. Interesting point on the story. It all comes down to Jesus and Jesus' way with people. Jesus, as Pastor Dietrich Bonhoeffer liked to say, was the man or person for others. That was his way in the world. His love for others is what the Holy Spirit would fill our hearts with, his kind of love, a love that is directed toward others, not towards ourselves. And so we pray that Christ's love through the Holy Spirit will give us his kind of love, which is what we seek, that will fill our hearts, the capacity to see differently who the other is. To see beyond outward appearance. to see deeply to the need. This is how things are in Christ's kingdom, in his sovereign reign. This text today, you might be interested to know, is like a bookend with the Beatitudes in chapter 5 of Matthew. This chapter today is very deeply connected with the Beatitudes. The Beatitudes are Jesus' first preaching text. First thing he says when he begins his preaching ministry, back in chapter 5, the blessed are meek, blessed are the peacemakers, blessed are those who mourn, and so forth. Today's text in Matthew is Jesus' very last preaching text before he enters into his passion. Bookends, if you will, deeply connected. And connected perhaps most profoundly under the notion of blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Maybe that one stands out above all in the Beatitudes in this text. In God's reign, things are different. The unexpected happens. The blessings are given to those who mourn, those who weep, those who seek and work for peace, those who practice mercy, who seek right relationships with others. Things that we don't count for very much in the world so much counts for everything in the kingdom of God. Very different orientation. And this is the orientation we pray that we will have in our lives as we live out our faith in Christ. This is the kind of love, you see, that just forgets itself and gives itself to the other freely as Christ has given himself to us and loved us. It enters suffering. It faces all the distressing disguises of the world without fear. And not as an instrument by which we save ourselves, but simply because we see a need. And the need cries out to us, and our hearts want to help and care and bring whatever good we can to the other. How many countless persons down through the centuries can you imagine have been helped because of this text? As people read it and took it to heart. Going all the way back to Jesus. This lesson today, this text, is an invitation, you see, for us to seek God, but not in the places we normally might think. Not in the beautiful cathedral grove of Redwoods, nor the mountains of Yosemite, but our God is found in other places. Not just the glories of nature, but God is found where God would seek to be found, in the people and the places of our world where there is need, where there is pain, suffering, despair, fear. That's where God's people will go. Luther put it this way as he reflected on this particular text. This guy. He said this, and I'm not going to put the mask on, it'll obscure them. Oh, dear Lord God, he said, how are we so blind that we don't take such love to heart? Who could have thought it up that God himself throws himself so deep down into our midst and accepts the work of all those who give themselves to the poor as though they were done for him? Thus the world, and he says, note this, thus the world is full of God. In every alleyway, before your door, you find Christ. We don't have to look far to find God if we're seeking God. And once we realize this, you see, you and I must know we will never run out of opportunities to do good and to show our love for the Lord, who himself has done so much for us. When he comes to us in those persons in distressing disguise, may we respond in love.